Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Are you caught up in His presence this morning? You know, there's an actual problem, I think, with people today that they've started to notice more and more. And I actually read an article on it the other day. And talked about how people are having such a hard time sleeping because they're constantly thinking about all of these things that need to happen, that need to be done, that they're worried about, that they're stressed about, whatever they might be. And it's actually become an issue. And as we're going through this song, and I don't know if anybody here has been dealing with this, but I know that this week it happened to me twice. Because as a business owner, there's things that come up sometimes and you worry. But you know, one night I had a really hard time sleeping and I prayed about it. And I prayed about it. I was like, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have a hard time sleeping. I don't want to be so stressed that I feel like I can't and don't know what to do. And you want to know something, just like this song talks about, we need to be caught up in His presence all the time. When we're going down the road and we're just worshiping, when we're going through work in our daily life and we're just worshiping, and when we're just allowing God to move and speak in our lives so freely, it's like all of those things in that moment that I said, you know what? No. Because you have a plan. You know what you're doing. You brought me to this point already for a reason. And I know that you didn't bring me here just to leave in this moment. I just said, God, I'm giving it to you. And right now, when I feel so worried, I'm just going to worship. And that's what it's talking about. I'm caught up in your presence. I don't want anything else because I just want to rest in this place that I'm at right now. And that's what He's calling us all to be in a place where it's not that you have to be singing out loud. It's not that you have to be doing all of those things all the time around everybody, but every moment during the day, remembering who it is that's in control. And knowing that we can just rest in that. That everything that He's doing. You know, the Bible talks about how the birds of the field and the flowers, they don't worry about how they're going to find food or the way they're going to be clothed. But they just know that it's okay. And it's the same thing with us. We have that same, it's like that same seed that's planted, it's the same Creator. And He just allows for those things to happen in our lives so that we can continue to move forward and His plan will continue regardless of what we're seeing. But it takes us saying, I'm going to rest in this place and know that what you have coming next, it's for me and that it's for good, that all things work together for good because you've placed good things in my life and you're not going to bring me somewhere just to leave me here, but I can rest regardless of the physical circumstance because you've given me more. We have to come to that place. I think there's so many things in this worship that have spoken towards that because I really believe that God's trying to bring us to a place where we understand, just rest here. Just allow Him to do what He's going to do and rest right here with me because I've got stuff I'm doing because I have stuff, ways of working things out in your life when you think that it can't be done. When you think that there's no more. It's really a blessing. Can watching me go back into this again. I don't care if you want to stay sitting, if you want to stand, but I just want to encourage you, rest in His presence this morning, because He's here, and He's wrapping us all up in His presence, and He wants to give us new things this morning. And as we go into this sermon, He's going to begin to just place seeds in your life, and He's going to give you more. But just rest right now. In this moment, just rest and prepare for what He has.
No, nothing else will do. Amen. How many just want God? How many just want Jesus? Nothing else will do. There's nothing, there's no one like Jesus. Amen. How many know that? Amen. Praise God. Nobody like Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, man, I enjoyed the worship. Thank you, worship team. You guys did awesome today, man. Miss them drums. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we've been talking about Elijah and how he went and he was bold enough to stand before the king, before King Ahab, and he said, hey, it's not going to rain until I tell it to. Pretty bold statement, but when you got a man of God that is speaking the things of God that God has spoken him to speak, it will become apparent, amen, that God is speaking through him. And so it was 3.5 years later where Elijah had gone and allowed Ahab to find him, and he said, hey, let's call all the prophets of Baal up to the mountain, and let's see who's God. And I love the story where he's just kind of taunting these prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, and there was 400 prophets of Ashtaroth that was there. Elijah's taunting them and telling them, hey, man, call louder, and they would be. There's no one to answer, amen? I mean, you know that there's some folks that are calling them. They're wanting things to happen, but they're not asking in the right way. How many know that? There's no one that is answering them there because what they're believing in is incorrect. It's not God. They're believing in a whatever. I mean, anyway, so he they have a showdown and the God that answers by fire will be the God. And so there's a sacrifice and the fire falls from heaven and it consumes the sacrifice. And it's an incredible victory for Elijah. Amen. How many like victories? How many? Yeah, nobody. Man, stay with me this morning. I know a lot of you, some of you might be tired, but stay with me. How many like victories?
Right here.
Amen. How many like that? I mean, yeah, how many know there's victory in Jesus? You remember that song? That's my fault. There's victory in Jesus. You guys remember that song? My Savior forever.
The only victory.
Sought me and he bought me. Come on, Victor. With his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to what? Victory. Beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise God. Give yourself a hand. Amen. Praise God. God intends for us to be victorious. Amen. But sometimes things don't go the way you thought, right? Is that right? How many know that? Is that okay?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. How do you feel when things don't go the way you think it's supposed to go? You don't like it, do you? Come on, be honest. How many don't like it when things go the way you want it to go? Look, come on, you guys, come on. I'm going to borrow both my hands. I like it to go the way I'd like it to go. Amen? Come on, man. Well, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter, I think it's 19, I believe it is. I'm going to read about Elijah, and I was just having fun with Elijah, just looking at some of his stuff. And today, I know it's weird. It was late last night. I was up, I don't know, it was maybe 4 o'clock, whatever. And I come up with this, name of this, it's called Face Wrap. Look, got that? I got no idea. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, Face Wrap.
Face Wrap.
Face Wrap. Face Wrap. What is that? I don't know. I don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So starting at 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to start at verse 1. The Bible says this, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw it, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Amen. Here Elijah, I mean, I don't know what Elijah was expecting, but it was a great miracle. Amen. Fire fell from heaven. I mean, he said, hey, gather up all these prophets of Baal and take them down by the river. And they took him down the river, and he killed every one of them. Should have been a great victory. Amen. But he gets a letter from the king's wife. What was her name? Jezebel. Yes. Gets a letter from the king's wife and says, hey, you're going to be just like one of those guys by the end of today. So what does he do? He gets up and takes off. Amen. Does he say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What did he say? He said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, man. I mean, anybody ever done that? Anybody ever been discouraged about something that happened? So you say, you know what? That's it. I'm tired. I'm done. It's enough. Is that right? Apparently, he thought he was done. Apparently, he thought, that's it. I better get out of here. I'll be a dead prophet. Amen? How many like dead prophets? I like them all. Come on, man. We're listening to some dead prophets. Amen. Come on. The word of God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. So he runs off and he's discouraged. I'm going to just let you look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. This is what it says. Hope deferred. Did I get the wrong one? 13:12. What did I put up there? Proverbs 13. I thought it was. Like I say, it was late last night. Amen. Yeah. I don't know what I did with it. What is it? 13:12. Oh, there it is. I was been there the whole time. Praise God.
We love you,
man. Yeah, I love you guys too, man. Put up with me tonight. I was up early yesterday. I got no excuse. Amen. Come on. Amen. Hey, we had a good time at the, how many had a good time at the powwow yesterday? We had a good time. By the way, we have vegetables over on this other side. So any of you want vegetables after church, help yourself, because we don't want to get rid of them. Okay. That'd be cool. Had a good time yesterday. Set up. We thought it was going to rain all day long. Didn't rain all day long. And so we had a good time. But here's what the word of God says, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many know that? What you're hoping for, the longer it takes, if it takes too long, you get tired of hoping for it. Is that right? Your heart gets tired. And that, it says, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Amen? When whatever you're hoping for, when it happens, isn't that good? How many like that? Amen? How many of you waited for something and all of a sudden it happens? Bam. And you, come on, waited 5 years? 4 years, 5 years for this house to be paid off. And when it happened, woo, come on, man. It's good. How many like paying off your vehicles? How many like having that little extra cash because you paid off your vehicle? Yeah. Is that right? And then you take your vehicle and go trade it in on something else so you can have another bill. Isn't that good? Come on. Hallelujah. We are a strange bunch, aren't we? Hey, come on, we are, man. But that's okay. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. Here Elijah takes off and he goes and he sits under this juniper tree. And he tells the Lord, I've had it. That's enough, God. What do you think he was expecting? I think he was expecting to see a little bit more change than what he got. All he got was a king that went home to his bossy wife, amen, and said, hey, Elijah killed all your prophets. You tell him, I'm going to kill him. And Elijah takes off running. The day before, he's chopping up people. The day after, he's running for his life. What's going on, Elijah? What's happening? Didn't turn out the way he thought it would. Amen? Elijah had a desire to see Israel turn back to the Lord. And yet this lady chased them off. How many have a desire to see God do things? How many like things in the city that you want to see God change?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love this. Can I tell you, I love Sahuarita. I really do. My kids grew up here. I've lived here since 1978. Kids went to these schools here, Continental School, Sahuarita High School. I love this town. I really do. Can I tell you, in a city, it takes more than just the town council and the town magistrates and the policemen. It takes more than that to make us a good city. How many know that? Can I tell you, it takes the people of God.
That's right.
Can I say that to you?
Ooh, yeah.
That the city is determined how good it is by the people of God that are in that city. How many know that? Is that true?
Yep.
Is it true? It is. And I want to see things changed. I want to see, I don't care what it is. I just want to see things change for the glory of God. I remember driving my truck. You guys know what kind of truck I drive? A little 1993 Chevy pickup. My daughter drove it to high school. My son drove it to high school. And I'm still driving. And that little truck has been as faithful as can be. And I still pat it on the dash, say, you're a good truck. You are a nice truck. You're always so faithful. Praise God. You're a blessing in my life. Amen. That's the way I talk to my truck. You might think it's silly, but I'm going to tell you, a truck has got who knows how many miles on it. And how much abuse on it, because I don't know what my daughter did, and I don't know what my son did. She'd be looking at me, what? Yeah, I remember she called me up one day at the college. She goes, hey, somebody tried to break into your truck. Oh, boy. I got over there, and both doors where they tried to slide some kind of something underneath to pop it loose and didn't come loose. Amen? There's an angel sitting in there. He's got a hand on one door and on the other door. He said, you ain't getting in this truck. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it's a good truck. And I like to pat it and tell it, you're a good truck. Amen. Hallelujah. You ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I don't even lock my doors on that truck.
That's right. I know that.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Nobody wants that truck. Yeah. I don't lock my doors. As a matter of fact, Rosie and I were going to have some lunch yesterday, and I left the keys in it. Some people might think, take my truck, please. I don't know why I'm talking to you about my truck. But I know for a fact that God loves his people. Amen.
Right.
Elijah was feeling really, really bad. Really bad. Major victory in his life. And nothing's changed. Not a thing. People are still not sure what they want to do because they got a queen that says, you got to serve Baal. And a king that says, you got to do what she says. Come on, man. How many know Ahab didn't have much backbone? How many know that? Oh, man, he saw what everybody else saw. He saw that fireball. He saw the glory of God hit the earth, and it licked up the sacrifice and the water that was poured on it. He saw it all. And how many know just seeing isn't enough in the kingdom of God? You know, we want to see signs and wonders. How many say amen to that? Should the Lord show us signs and wonders. But will it change? Will it change us? Just because we see in the sign and wonder, will it change you? It should. But will it most of the time? No. You know what changes the heart of man? His name is called the Holy Ghost. That's what changes us. That's what God comes within and begins to do some work, a little surgery, spiritual surgery. How many like spiritual surgery? You like it? Come on. Yeah. Come on.
I love it.
Yeah, but when I'm going through it, I mean, there's no anesthesia for spiritual surgery. Amen?
Oh, Lord, I don't know if I like this or not, God. I don't know, God, why do you put that person in front of me, God? So you can love on them. I don't love them. I want you to love them. I don't love them. No anesthesia for them kind of surgeries. Amen? But God is doing something in your life. And he's doing something in Elijah's life. And Elijah's running now from running for his life. Because isn't it funny? The same God that spoke to him and did all those things for him is the same God before and after that trial. Even after what Jezebel told him, same God can do far more exceedingly above that he could even ask or think. It's the same God. What's changed? I think what changed was his expectation. He expected something great. He expected the nation to be just, bam, brand new, back unto God. And it didn't. And he goes, I've done all I can. I'm out of here. So let's pick out where he's under the bush and he's under the juniper tree. And he says this, Lord, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my fathers. He's talking about his fathers, the prophets. He said, even the, you know, how many know people are hard? Do you know that? People have, it's hard to change people's lives. It's hard to change. Only God can do it. So he said, I'm no better than my fathers. I can't do it either. You might as well take me, Lord. I've done what I needed to do. I've done it. And he falls asleep. Amen? How many know it's nice to rest?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? I think my forehead might hit my Bible about 12 times last night. So, okay. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went through the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the Mount of God. It's funny how God knows exactly where he was going. Did we know where he was going before that? We didn't know where he was going. All we know is he headed out, and he left his servant, and he said, hey, and he went even further, and then he sat down under a tree, and he cried out to God and said, it's time, God, I've had enough, and he falls asleep. The Bible says an angel spoke to him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and there was this cake baked and some water, and he ate. And he drank, and he went back to sleep. I don't know about you, but if I would have had an angel tell me that, I don't think I would have slept right away. I would have been going, man, where are you? I don't think he saw this angel. I think he heard the angel. The angel touched him while he was asleep, eyes closed, amen? And he said, rise, eat. And then he falls back asleep, and then he wakes up again by the angel's touch. The angel touched him again. He says, arise and eat. Elijah, arise and eat. And he says, for the journey is too great for you. How many of you know that God knew where he was going? You know what I love about God is he knows everything about you. He already knows where you're going, what you're doing, what you're thinking. He knows all of that. How many know that? Is that good?
Right.
Some say, man, that's not real good for me because I'm not thinking some good stuff right. Is that right? But you know what? He knows exactly where you're at. Every one of us in the building, he knows where you're, and he knows where your journey is headed. Is that okay? Is that all right? And he tells Elijah, arise, the journey is too great for him. You know where Elijah was headed? He was headed to Mount Oreb. Everybody say Mount Oreb.
Mount Oreb.
Mount Oreb. There's another name for Mount Oreb. It's called Mount Sinai. How many know where Mount Sinai is? How many know what that is? That's the mountain of God.
Elijah was headed for God's mountain. Isn't that cool? If there's anywhere you want to go, if you got no place to go, you say, you know what? I'm going to go to God's mountain. I'm going to go find God. I'm going to find him where he's at. The Lord was with him the whole time. Is that right? He's sending messages via an angel and telling him, hey, man, eat, drink. The journey is too great for you. I love this part because it speaks to me like crazy. Can I tell you the journey that we're on? How many, can I just get you to understand this, that the journey you're on is greater than what you think it is? And it's too hard for you to do on your own. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You need the Holy Spirit to help you in your journey.
Amen.
You need him. He's been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth so he can direct us and show us where we're headed. Is that okay? If I would have known he was heading me to this, I probably would have started drinking again. No, I'm just kidding. I better watch it. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean that. That just came out. No, but seriously, if I would have known. But see, he knows. And he's still telling me, Henry, the journey is too great for you. You need my help. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, everybody look at me. Pastor, you need God's help, that's for sure. Come on. Yeah, you. God says that you need my help. I said, man, God, I need your help. I always do, always have, and always will. I am nothing. Without him, I can do what? Nothing. Is that right? I need your help. Yesterday, in my little map, you know, I got a little map in the back of my Bible, and Hank's got some nice maps, but I got this little map in the back. Pat's got a nice map in his office, but I got this little Bible map in the back. I got my little piece of paper, and it says this much equals 40 miles. So I cut a little piece of paper to 40 miles, and then I stretched it out from Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai all the way up to Mount Carmel, where he had challenged those priests of Baal. You know how many miles it was? 300. Approximately 300 miles. That's a long way. How many say amen? That's a long way for a couple of legs, a couple of feet. Amen? That's a long walk. Amen? Henry, you think you walk along? Elijah's saying, that's a long walk. I said, yeah, it's a long walk. And he was headed to the mountain of God. That's where Elijah was heading. Let's read a little bit further. I'm going to just reread verse 7. It says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Do you think you could walk 300 miles in 40 days? How many? How many say, hey, come on, man. 40 days, you got 40 days and 40 nights. You can walk at night too if you want. I won't walk at night. But I did the math. That's a little bit, that's about 7.5 miles a day. That's how far he walked. If he walked just all in a day, it's about 7.5 miles. How many can walk 7.5 miles? Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad walk. That's kind of a nice walk. Get up in the morning, do 7.5 miles, go to bed. Get up in the morning, do 7.5 miles, go to bed. 40 days and 40 nights, but he did it without any food. How many say that? Ooh. No McDonald's, no, what's this one? Chipotle, what's it called?
Culver's,
yeah. How do you say it, Chipotle? Yeah. Chipotle. I like the way I say it better. Chipotle. That's just dumb. Yeah. Praise God. There's none of those along the way. It's all rocks. And the word of God says that he cruised that thing. He went 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, who else did a 40 day and 40 night fast? Moses, is that right? Who else did one? Jesus did a 40 day and 40 night fast. And I haven't, yeah. But here he is, and he's walking, and he, And he arrives to the mountain. Amen. God left the light on for him. Amen. Praise God. There's a cave there for him already set up for him. Got a bed in there. Yeah. And he came there to a cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and slain your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it, to take it away. So Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? He heard a voice say to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Somehow, I'm still thinking it's the angel of the Lord speaking to him because of what happens in the later on in the story. But I believe it's the angel still speaking to Elijah. What are you doing here? What are you planning to do here on the mountain of God, on Oreb? And what are you? What's your plan? And he tells him, I'm God's man, and there's nobody else but me. He says, I'm the only one left, and the people that are after my life, they want to take my life. So he says this, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Here Elijah is standing at the cave and he's watching what's going on in front of him, and this wind is blowing through and it's knocking down rocks and breaking, and rocks are breaking, and the wind is blowing hard, and he sees nothing. He's watching it all. And then after that it says this, and broken pieces of rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Is that right? It's earth, wind, and fire. You guys ever heard of them? Earth, wind, and fire. All these things happening for him, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the fire. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's he looking for? Just got through telling us the Lord wasn't in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the fire. Elijah was looking for the Lord. He was looking for the Lord. Would you walk 40 days and 40 nights to find God? Would you? Would you do all that? Would you go through all that? Because I've got to find God. Hallelujah. I tell you. Verse 12 says that after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then it says, and after the fire, a what? A still, small voice. A small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. That's where I got the face wrap. All right. Wrapped his face in the mantle. And went out and stood at the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? It was a very quiet voice, a very calm voice. It wasn't, what are you doing here? It wasn't nothing like that. It was one of these voices that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? But it was quiet enough where he wrapped himself with his mantle, and he wrapped it around his head so that he could do what? He desired to hear from God. Can I tell you something? Stuff's going around you a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on. How many know today there's things going around like crazy? Is that right? There's all this stuff about all this stuff. Amen? But the way you're going to hear God is to just get into his presence, get into your prayer closet, and get rid of it all. Wrap yourself. Wrap your faith if you have to and say, God, I got to hear you. Can I tell you that you can probably hear him with your fingers in your ears? Because he speaks within you. How many know that? How many of you have ever heard him speak? How many of you love to hear him speak? How many of you want to hear him speak even again and again and again? I'm going to tell you something. He's speaking this morning. He is speaking to the hearts. He's saying, look, come after me. I would tell you, I would say if there's anything that I've sensed in the last 6 months in this church is God saying, be in my presence. Be in my presence. Get into your prayer closet. Find me. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Can I tell you, it's so important that you hear what God is saying to you. Because he will never cause you to drive away from your brothers and sisters. He will never do those things. That's not God. How many of you know that God is in the, his spirit is in the business of bringing the body of Christ together, not pushing them away? How many of you know that? Come on, you got to say amen to that. See, it's called the spirit of unity. That's what it is. God does love those churches out there. How many of you know that? God does love them. How many of you know that God does love people across the street? Your neighbor, that dog keeps doing stuff in your yard. Almost said it. God does love those folks. Amen? God loves. And it is his spirit that dwells, that he has placed within his people, that they might have something to lead and to guide them by. Amen? Hallelujah. And you would say, hey, it's time to wrap yourself and listen for me. Listen, because he speaks very quietly. Because you know what? I know that when my car breaks down, it's yelling at me. Is that right? I say car. I didn't say truck. When the car breaks down, it's yelling. It's screaming. The roof is leaking. It's screaming. I'm leaking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All these things are voices speaking to you. And it's important that you find a place where you say, God, I will come after you. I'm going to seek you till I find you. How many of you know that God does speak? You know his voice. The word of God says this, my sheep know what? My voice. Is that right? My sheep know my voice. And he says, it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him, said, Elijah, what doest thou here? Elijah says, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. He was giving him everything that was going on around him. Is that right? The children of Israel, they're all bad. They're a bunch of no goods or whatever. And you know what? We have a tendency to look at everything else. Is that right? But looking at God. Elijah was a man of God. He was a powerful man of God. And yet here he is. He's complaining to God about what's going on around him. And God knows about everything around you. What he's interested in is you, Elijah. I'm interested in you. What are you doing here? Well, I'm seeking you. Well, you found me. Now listen. This is what I love. I really had to fight from using this. When I was a youth pastor, I did this message, and this is what I called it. If you would put it up, it was called frustration. You know how Elijah was frustrated? How many of you have ever gotten frustrated? Anybody ever been frustrated? Frustration will bring you to a revelation so that God can take you to a destination. Frustrations are designed to do that. Frustrations are made so that you would go to God and say, God, I need your help. I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. And God gives you something. He shows you something. He gives you a revelation. In that revelation, he tells you, I've got a destination for you. And this is what was happening to Elijah. Check this out. Watch this. He says this. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with a sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it. And the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way in the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you say that, Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in your room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Here's what the Lord's saying to you. Look, I've got something for you to do. I'm glad you came to look for me, because I do have something for you, Elijah. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go anoint these guys to do what needs to be done in Israel. Can I tell you that Jehu was a king that was anointed, but it wasn't by Elijah. This other guy, Hazael, was another guy that Elijah never touched, but Elisha did. Elisha, who took over for Elijah, he did the anointing on these two other guys. Elijah only did the anointing on Elisha. What does that tell you? That God has a purpose and a plan. He says, your hand will be upon, you will anoint Elisha. Elisha's hand will be upon these guys. And these guys, can I tell you that the plan of God works further and better out there than what you've even expected, because he does the work through you and through those that he's anointed to do this work. And that's a great thing. Elijah needed a destination. He thought he was the only one. Here's what the scriptures say. Verse 18 says, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, every mouth which has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he was with the twelfth, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave to the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elisha and ministered to him. God had a plan. Whether Elijah believed it or not, that plan had a portion of him running away from Jezebel. And I tell you this is what we don't understand most of the time in the kingdom of God, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we just don't get it. Jezebel was a driver to move Elijah out in down to the mountain of God to get information from God so that God can continue to use him. Do you know that God does that with us? These things are drivers to us. God, I mean, isn't that what happened? We were talking about this the other day, Pastor John, how in Jerusalem, the apostles, because of the persecution coming in on the church, it drove them out of Jerusalem. They went into all, for Jesus said, go ye into all corners of the earth, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove. They left Jerusalem because of persecution. You see, God knows what he's doing. Jezebel was being used by the hand of God to move Elijah to a place where he would find what he needed to find. Isn't that cool? We all our lives don't realize that God is in control. He really is. He really, really is. So it's important that you learn to relax. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, relax. Relax. It's important that you learn to relax, that you learn to trust God in all things. Is that right? Amen? God has sent you a comforter. How many know that? Who is that? What's a comforter's name? What's he called? Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost? Holy Spirit? Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost? How many got that? You guys don't get that. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he is what the Bible calls a paraclete, the comforter. A paraclete does this. Pastor John, come here. Where you at, Pastor? Come here. A paraclete does this. This is what a paraclete does. See, because you are created spirit, soul, and body. How many know that? God, spirit, soul, and body. That's how you've been created. God says, I'm going to send you a comforter. And that word for comforter is paraclete. Paraclete means someone that comes alongside to help. This is what God does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside to help you. Now, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a mind. Okay? And then God sends his Holy Spirit. I'm the Holy Spirit, not you. No. sends a Holy Spirit to help you. Is that okay? Now, check this. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many spirits should you have within you? Two. It's two. You got the Holy Spirit. And you got a man that has spirit, soul, and body. So he comes to help, comes and attaches himself to help the spirit. Because the spirit now, the Bible says we are to be led by the spirit, correct? We are to be led by the spirit. So that spirit needs to be led by something. So the Holy Spirit comes along as a paraclete to lead and to guide. Be very careful though, because we in our own spirits can resist the Holy Spirit. Yeah, absolutely. 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 See, the spirit of man is created to commune with God, to have intuition, to know the things of God. And there's a word a lot. He gives you a conscience. The spirit in man has those three areas. He's got a conscience, intuition, and communion. That's how we talk to God. Okay? Your spirit can resist God's spirit, because God might be saying to you, I'm calling you into the closet. I am calling you into your prayer closet. I am calling you. And your spirit is saying, what? What were you saying? No. And it's do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is what God has done. Be very careful that you don't resist the Holy Spirit when he's telling you something.
Amen.
You need to say you're sorry to that person. I am not saying sorry. He will say that to you, and you will resist him. You will allow your spirit to overrule the Holy Spirit. Now, is that correct?
Yeah.
It absolutely isn't. You cannot allow your spirit to overrule. Your spirit should be subjective to the Holy Spirit. It should be down. It should say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want, I will do. Oh, I'm the Holy Spirit now. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're the... Stand back up. Praise God.
Together.
Praise God. We do it together. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. This story is what God was doing with Elijah. He was teaching him about his spirit. He said, I heard this. I heard this. I heard a voice. I heard a voice. And then finally he said, I heard a voice within me saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? Yeah, thank you. You're a good man. Here, give John a hand. He did good. Do you understand it's so important that you allow the Spirit to take you into your prayer closet? God has been speaking this from this pulpit. Get into your prayer closet. Get into your prayer closet. Find your prayer closet. Get in there. Listen to what God is saying to you personally. Forget about those guys that are on TV. Forget about those guys that are on the radio. Get into your prayer closet and let him speak to you. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking it to you right now. Because no man is able to lead you and guide you. It is only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he does it by his spirit whom he's given to you. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I love the words of this song where it says, you're going to have to tell me the words right here.
The beginning?
I'm sorry.
When I've just gone through the motions.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions.
I'm sorry.
When I just sang another song, come on, man. Take me back to where we started. I open my heart to you. Do you understand what God is saying?
Yeah.
I have sent my spirit to lead you and guide you. Do not resist. Yield. How many say amen to yield?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this song one more. Let's sing this song one more time. And then we'll leave. I'm going to pray for you really quick before. Father, I thank you for your people, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing, God. God, we desire to hear you and you alone. No one else will do. So, Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, we open our hearts to you. We ask you, Father. We ask you, Lord, speak clearly into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Let's sing this song.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.